This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I've been working with a nurse dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Welcome back in, 92.9 The Game, the midday show. Abe Gordon, Bo Squid, Billy Morgan hanging out with you till 2 o'clock today. Going to talk about the Falcons in just one moment, but as always, we've got our eye turned to Augusta National as well. Justin Rose has played even since he dropped the shot and went from 8-under to 7-under. Ludwig Aubert, though, back at it again with a pretty strong start. He's also now 1-under. He's in sole possession of second place right now, 5-under for the tournament. Scotty Scheffler, Bryson DeChambeau has also moved to 4-under. Right there. So we're underway and we're paying attention.
And Rory is 1-under today after dropping 2 late yesterday to get play be at even. So
it wasn't 2.
Well, he
it was, 3.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
I know.
I saw him last as I was on my third hole of the night and he was 2-under. And then I got to my fifth hole of the night and he was even.
Yeah.
And done. And I was like, what the hell happened? Because he's one of my guys. We had to do tiered. We had to do golf tier 1, tier 2, tier 3, and tier 4.
Right.
And he was my tier 1 guy because he's been one of the hottest guys on the tour.
And it was two holes apart. Now I'm blanking if it was 15 and 17 or 16 and 18. But he bogeys and then pars and then double bogeys. With 3 or 4 holes to go, he was at 3-under right in the discussion with the leaders. Obviously separated from Justin Rose, who was 3 shots past everyone. And then he drops to even and essentially ends his tournament and not end, but the contention. And we'll talk to Will Haskett about that in about 35 more minutes when the PGA Tour analyst and insider, joins us. Bo, I think you're one of the smarter Falcons voices that we have on this station.
Wow.
I do.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I think you're around the team. I think you see and hear as much as anyone, on air here. And so I wanted to have this discussion with you, and a lot of this is my ego looking for reassurances because I want you to agree with me and
okay.
Where my head's at with certain things and feel don't agree just because I said that.
I think you know I won't.
So I had like a bunch of various timelines for Kirk Cousins, and a lot of that did change. Not a lot of it. Some of that may have changed this morning, and that's where we have to start this discussion in regards to Kirk Cousins, because the team that has most commonly been associated, whether accurate or not, in regards to chasing Kirk Cousins, waiting for Kirk Cousins, playing the game of chicken with the Falcons for Kirk Cousins, has been the Cleveland Browns. And this morning, they re-signed 40-year-old quarterback Joe Flacco. Let's just start here. Flacco now with the Browns. Kenny Pickett was added earlier this offseason. For Cleveland, Deshaun Watson, we'll get to him in the NFL. No, hold on. For Cleveland, they are now just completely off the table for Kirk Cousins.
As it stands right now, it would appear so. I'm not sure if you're hitching your wagon to Flacco and Pickett, are you still off the board for a quarterback? I don't know. I could even see a world where they still draft a quarterback. And I've always thought that's open for them.
Right.
And because you can, look, you can have three quarterbacks. You could.
But I'm not even talking about them adding another quarterback. I'm talking about them adding Kirk Cousins.
So can I say an unpopular? I don't want to blow up this whole Q&A that you got because I don't want to destroy.
Well, it's not all Cleveland-based.
But I never thought Cleveland was a spot for Kirk Cousins. I didn't, because Cleveland was never going to be willing to do what the Falcons were going to make it necessary to do to get him.
They're not letting someone Russell Wilson this thing where they cut him and you sign him for that minimum.
Nope, because it does.
Yeah.
Because first off, that just further hamstrings this team. I also don't think that they were going to take just a seventh round pick and then pay most of the salary for Kirk Cousins, because again, as many national guys have said, and I've tried to just hammer home, even though others disagree with me, even on this station, there's no detriment to having him on the team or in the locker room. You've already paid the money, the $10 million you might have to pay. Now that doesn't mean you don't trade him at some point this offseason because you get an offer that is what you were always looking for, but there's not this misnomer that the Falcons have this sense of urgency to get Kirk Cousins off of the roster. Just does not exist.
And that's why I wanted to kind of break this down into a couple of various timelines. But again, before we get into the timelines, I now think with Cleveland, at least for me, off the board, the question remains, who's still potentially on the board? And I think it probably starts right now. And this is a waiting game that they're playing, not even necessarily that you're playing with Pittsburgh. What's going on with Aaron Rodgers? If he's out, is Kirk Cousins possibly their plan B?
I don't think so.
No. If you're looking for the fans who are trying to find a team that would fit, it would make sense.
No, to me it doesn't.
Okay,
yeah,
why?
Yes, because they need a quarterback. I give you that.
And they're closer to competing than, say, moving Kirk to the Titans or something.
But that's not – go look at who their offensive coordinator is. And what people – look, I get to hear some things that other people aren't privy to, and I'm not supposed to give a lot of that away. But I think at this point I can say a little bit.
Arthur Smith has made it pretty known he wants a guy that can run his offense. He's not adjusting what he's doing to the quarterback.
He wants to run bootlegs. He wants
that's where I was headed, yeah.
And look, the fact of the matter is he wasn't over – not that he didn't love Matt and like Matt, but I heard some rumblings that he didn't love Matt in his system because there were times where it hamstrung what he wanted to do. And go back to just this year. How did Kirk Cousins hamstring what we wanted to do and Zach Robinson wanted to do? Because I can tell you.
Certainly did in the opener.
It did. And so I have never thought Kirk Cousins of Pittsburgh is a possibility either. Just because of who their offensive coordinator is.
And I get that, too. So now we're left with a couple of various timelines that Kirk Cousins has a little bit of control of and potentially the Atlanta Falcons have some control of. And the first timeline is a draft day trade. And I think because of Kirk's comments and some of the concerns there, round one, day one, that Thursday, is not on board.
Yeah, it's well, he has to. It's not if
to the teams that would theoretically trade for a quarterback, he would not do it before day one.
Unless you're trading with a team that has already got a solid starter, which then why would
he
you
would,
do it?
He wouldn't
take it. Or you're staying a team that is got a good offensive line, win now mode, and they run a system that Kirk fits in.
That doesn't have a quarterback right now?
Yeah.
All right, so look, obviously
Minnesota, but that's not going to happen.
No, the team that makes sense now, and I don't know if Kirk would love it, but you said you want a starting opportunity. Here you go. It can't happen draft night is Tennessee.
Yeah, and
it certainly can't happen before they make their first round selection, right? Because
can we be real, right? If you at today. Right now, today, there's no trade in my mindset. I know I'm jumping the shark here, but there is nothing happening before August.
All right, so here's what I said. So I have ruled out day one of the draft. I think for the same reason I rule out day two of the draft.
I rule out anything before June.
I think there is, and I'm not saying that this is going to happen. I'm saying the first opportunity you would even have to trade him is draft day Saturday, the third day of the draft.
But why?
I don't think it's happening then. I'm just saying that's my first timeline for anything to even possibly be considered.
Financially speaking, nothing makes sense before June. Nothing. Go look at the dead cap, all that. Nothing makes sense before June.
I don't think there's going to be a quarterback needy team that doesn't have a plan by then.
Well,
hear me out. Is the timeline now? And look, we know what they have said about comfort level and welcoming him back into the locker room and all that stuff. Is the timeline now? See what team gets desperate through training camp.
I think that's
what we're playing with, right?
I think what the team has told you is they have a plan and they're comfortable with it. Kirk Cousins then and his camp, because this is his agent.
We get his preference, sure.
It is going to double down on what they want. And the reality is the best opportunity for him to start would be when? After a team probably loses a quarterback. In his scenario where he doesn't want to have a guy behind him, that would be a scenario where you go to a team.
Probably a contending team at that point. That has an injury. Yeah.
And then you start for a year, and then they're going to cut you after that year, and you would be traded. You would get all the money, all blah, blah, blah. But the reality is yeah, dude, it's going to have to be that way because it's always going to be that way.
So you and I are on the same page, and this segment has gone about as I expected. I have one more question for you in regards to this. Let's say Aaron Rodgers does not join the Pittsburgh Steelers. Do you think he's playing that same game where he could sit and wait for a team that becomes quarterback needy? And would he be higher in that pecking order than Kirk Cousins?
It's highly possible, and yes, he would be higher in that pecking order.
And that is why I'm rooting for Rodgers to go to Pittsburgh, because I think that's the cleanest way to get Kirk Cousins eventually traded with some sort of value.
Here's two things. I think Kirk Cousins looked better early than Aaron Rodgers. I think Aaron Rodgers held up during looked better at the end of the season,
I
think that's your lasting thing.
Right.
To me, you guys can talk injuries all you want. The thing about it was I still refuse to believe there was injuries. I still believe it was mental because of everything that I saw with some of the throws that were made that were phenomenal throws after he was air quote injured. And what you don't want is people thinking you got the yips, which is to me what he had. The other thing I would tell you is I'm rooting for Aaron Rodgers to go to Pittsburgh.
Yes. Same.
But it has nothing to do with Kirk Cousins. It's because I love drama.
Yep.
I want to see that play out in Pittsburgh, and I want to see if Aaron Rodgers can go somewhere with a guy that will tell him how it's going to be and see if they can win again.
I will say this. If the plan ultimately is to move on from Kirk Cousins, you have really hamstrung yourself in choosing the ideal backup, and that's a discussion we can have at a later date.
But I agree.
For instance, a guy like Joe Flacco was a guy that I had circled and say, but this might not be a bad idea.
Yeah, I just don't. But Joe Flacco's, again, Joe – much like Kirk, Joe Flacco would come in here and change what you could do,
he would accept the backup role.
That's what he is. But now he's going to be starting.
Now you're going to have some real limitations at backup, and it might not be a guy that's had success in the NFL.
I'm going to tell you something. Listen to this now, just for 1 second. I'll leave you with this. If you want the best backup possible, you should be for not trading Kirk Cousins.
I agree with that too. And yes, I agree. And by the way, I'm totally comfortable with that.
I am totally too. The only people that aren't, I think, are guys who have never been in a locker room before.
Yeah. All right, when we come back, we are going to stick on the football field. We're going to stay with Gridiron, but we're talking about G-Day. A couple different questions about what's going on up there in Athens tomorrow. Also, a couple of other college football news and notes coming your way. It's Bo Morgan, Abe Gordon filling in for Andy and Randy on the Midday Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Welcome back on to the Midday Show. Abe Gordon and Bo Morgan filling in for Andy and Randy. The gentlemen with kids have spring break this week. They'll be back on Monday starting at 11 a.m. as per usual. Going to talk G-Day here in just a moment, but some further updates going on there at the Masters there at Augusta National. And it is Masters Week. I don't imagine you didn't already know that, but Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, you might not know this, is your source for the best coverage of Georgia's golf major. Join Westwood One each night of the tournament. They're going to wrap up all the action at 11 p.m. Masters coverage on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is brought to you by Twin Peaks, by Trajan Wealth, your trusted local fiduciary advisors, by Humberto Injury Law, when it's game time and winning is the only option, and by the Georgia Hemp Company. Come check out our new locations. It's the Masters all week and weekend long on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Justin Rose has picked that shot back up. He's now to 8 under. Bryson DeChambeau continues his charge up the leaderboard. He's now to 5 under, 2 under through 4 today. And Ludwig Aubert is 1 under on this one. Of note still to take to the course. In just about almost directly 2 hours from now, at 1:23, Scottie Scheffler at 4 under is going to take to Augusta National as well.
Yeah, remind me, once we get through some of this Georgia talk, we have some Tennessee news to talk about.
That's part of it. It's not all G-Day. It's going to be college football news and notes as well.
I just got a report from our own Rusty Manziel. Somebody was not at practice up at Tennessee.
Oh, boy. Start the panic meter. let's start here because we're kind of.
Yeah, we got to start the panic meter too down in Gainesville.
He's not throwing. I knew he wasn't going to throw.
Well, I've been talking about this for a while now because I saw this about a month ago that he had not thrown in anything. I am a little worried, but...
You think we could trade for Kirk?
I don't know if he has eligibility left. Pretty sure he was like a fifth-year guy in Michigan State. Well, also, you got to move. You know, college game, you need legs almost more than ever. And Kirk don't have them.
I know.
I mean, he does. They don't move very fast.
I have no legs. Let's kind of combo this Masters and G-Day thing here before we get into the actual game that's going to take place tomorrow, along with Georgia Tech's white and gold game. Should G-Day be moved to a different weekend of the sports calendar? Like, going head-to-head with the Masters feels like a significant crossover of the fan base. I thought these spring games and G-Day is kind of for the fans, for boosters and supporters. And I just wonder if you saw the litany of private planes there in Augusta. Like, how many of those would be in Athens tomorrow if it weren't for the Masters? Should they try and avoid the crossover weekend? That's all I'm asking.
So, spring games, I don't want to. You got to be careful when sometimes you say stuff. You ever been to a preseason game?
Yeah.
In the NFL as a fan?
Yeah.
I used to go a lot. Me and my dad would go. Me and my dad would go to a couple of games a year. He would get tickets from a guy that he worked with, his boss, and who had season tickets. And we would get like a preseason game, and we would get a regular season game. So I got to go to a couple of games a year. It's a little bit different at preseason games, and it's a little bit different for spring games. And I think Mike Johnson touched on this. Said, you see people you don't regularly see at a regular season game. And so... And that being said, no, I think the people that want to go to G-Day either find a different day to go to Masters or they would rather go to G-Day. And you know, we always think about 93K Day at Georgia, but the last 2 years, they've had 55,000, 54,000. Reverse it. 54 and 23, 55 and 24. So in other words, they're not filling out the stadium. You're going to get you're getting a little over half full. I just don't think it's the same. I don't think anyone that wants to go to the Masters is going to miss the Masters for G-Day and vice versa.
Okay, it was just a question. It's definitely a crossover crowd, but I tend to agree with you. I don't think it's so much of an issue that it's costing one or the other.
I just don't think it's a big deal. I think it's a decent thought. I just don't think it's a big deal.
What should we look for at G-Day? Let me start here. What do you actually want to see in terms of the format? They're not going to play a game. And when you're at Falcons training camp, like there are, I don't know what you call it, events, sessions, whatever, that are of more interest than others.
Well,
right?
One of my favorite, and I'm not sure if you're going to see this because this is a scrimmage. But one of my favorite things at training camp is the big uglies going at it. I love the offensive lineman going after the defensive lineman in reps. I love it. I absolutely love that part of it. It's fun for me. It's a part that you can really see what, you know, a little bit more of the action and who's doing what. But like in G-Day, I want to see how Gunnar Stockton runs with the first team, how he's meshing with some of those receivers. I think Puglisi will probably. I think they'll probably mix and match a little bit, and I'm interested in seeing him.
We keep being told that it's a quarterback battle. I don't know if that's true, but they keep saying it.
I think Kirby's saying it for multiple reasons. Although if you go in there and each guy shows you some stuff, Gunnar Stockton, but neither one separates from the other.
Gunnar's got the
guy.
Lead. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, Puglisi would have to overwhelm them, and Stockton would have to extremely underwhelm them for anything to change
The one thing I'd be looking for, and what you say about the quarterback is certainly fair, the one thing I'd be looking for is obviously what are the receivers doing, because that seemed to be the biggest issue, not the only issue, but the biggest issue, in my opinion, last season. I love when the Falcons do receiver versus DB, just one-on-ones, with the quarterbacks tossing the ball, and... that's what I would be looking for if I were at G-Day and I could draw up a format.
Well, I think that's an interesting point by you, because that is especially on one side, has been a need for this team.
Drop. I've been told that the freshmen.
Are these people telling you these things?
You see write-ups.
I know. I'm messing with you. But that's what Mike does to me constantly when I say, you know, I keep hearing, woohoo, from who? Justin Rose, I think, just missed a birdie putt, by the way.
Oh, no. The leader by three strokes will have to settle for par. But I would want to see, like, I would want to see these receivers one-on-one with DB. And these guys are big, tall, fast. Are they mossing dudes?
Oh, it's
fair. They running by dudes? Like, but you can do that. Right, all the concern they tell us is we don't want to get guys hurt. All right, one-on-ones.
But you know what I really want to see?
Non-contact one-on-ones.
I want to see what – look, the defense – the trench depth has been is notorious at Georgia for being phenomenal. Last year, they were not very good on the offensive line. Defensive line, they were still good. I'd like to see what some of these young guys are coming in here and doing on the offensive line. You're replacing – quite a few guys on the offensive line. So how do the new center step in?
Yeah.
How does the Tate Ratledge's replacement? Like, there are guys that you need to figure out how they're going to do, because you have to be better. You have to be better next year up front on the offensive line.
And I think there's an opportunity to do some light non-contact 7-on-7s. I just the more I think about it, like watching Falcons training camp, and you've been to more of those than I have. Like, there are drills and sessions that are more interesting than others. And if G-Day doesn't want to do a game, if they don't want to do that, like, let's just see some individual drills where guys get after you guys in a safer environment. And I still think you can learn and be entertained from that. I mean, when we got the fans up on the hill there, I know not this past season, at Flowery Branch, you can hear oohs and ahs when it's just one-on-ones, cornerback and receiver, based on what happens. You can hear that they're entertained and amazed by what they're seeing. I think that could translate to G-Day, too.
And they're going to play a game. Like, it's going to be a regular scrimmage. They're
of some sort, yeah.
No, I think from what I've been told, it's going to be very similar to recent years' formats. It's just, like, teams are just protecting themselves more.
I get that, too, by the way.
If you can't come make it, you better send somebody. Because I'm not showcasing on national television what you can come steal from me on a Zoom call.
No comment. Speaking about what could be stolen, up in Tennessee, they are in, quote, negotiations with quarterback Nico Iamaleava. I still can't say it.
Iamaleava?
Just Nico.
I could have said it.
Well, here's the problem.
I said it on the way down. No, hold on a second. I said his name five times
Iamaleava.
In my truck.
I've always said Iamaleava.
You screwed it up, and I screwed it up.
And I know how to say it, or at least I know how I say it, Iamaleava. But we all just call him Nico, and we know who we're talking about, the five-star quarterback there. And apparently there's negotiations going on, I guess a threat of him entering the spring transfer portal. I don't buy any of it. I understand why he's going to start these conversations and to try and get as much money out of NIL as he can, but I don't think he's going anywhere. And you heard
from
Rusty.
He wasn't very good against other teams.
He wasn't anything special. He certainly wasn't the guy that's supposed to put them over the top.
You know, it's kind of like you know how Vic Beasley's sack season.
Look at the last three quarterbacks. It was Joe Milton, Hendon Hooker, and Nico. And Nico hasn't been any better than those guys.
Well, you know how, like, Vic Beasley's sack season was always – yeah, but it only came against, like – all his sacks came against, like, four teams, which – if you look at it, over half his sacks did come against
Nico. Tore up Nebraska in the second half.
He tore up crappy teams.
Yeah.
When he got in the SEC play, he was very average. Yeah. That's when I realized that something was going on. Either Florida was getting better, or he wasn't as good as when Florida held them in check.
A little bit of both.
And it was. He was not at practice this morning.
Okay.
So
but the deal's not signed.
Come on, man.
The deal's not signed.
You already have a deal.
You get a better deal. So it's a general football holdout. But he's not going anywhere.
I don't know. I don't know. You never know. Everybody's looking to steal. College football, college athletics right now is nothing but green grass everywhere. That's how it's all sold.
All right. When we come back, we are going to chat more about the Masters. Will Haskett, PGA Tour analyst and insider, joined us yesterday, joining us again today. We're going to talk about the start today for Justin Rose and combo that with what happened yesterday. And also Rory, what went wrong and can he rebound? A lot of discussion about Augusta National coming your way on the Midday Show. Abe and Bo filling in for Andy and Randy on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back in, 92.9 The Game. I don't think we're allowed to do the soft, slow talk.
Yes, we can.
That's an actual Masters thing, but also
that's a golf thing. It's not trademarked by the Masters. Here we are.
It should be trademarked by Chris Vernon,
from
if
the
you know what I'm talking
game,
about.
Kia Studios, live with Abe Gordon. I'm Squid Billy Bo Morgan. It's a beautiful day out here, Abe.
Now you just sound like coffee talk a little weird. where your impression fell apart is you haven't mentioned nature yet. The sun shining through the blinds.
I literally said it's a beautiful day out here, but I just didn't I didn't go into grave detail. You're right.
Peeking. I was hoping you were scattered clouds.
I was hoping you were going to join in with a whisper, but I don't think you're capable of whispering. So I guess not. That probably blew it up right there.
Like a plate at Waffle House, the crowd scattered. Have you ever the sky?
All right, you know what? Let's
talk golf.
It.
The Augusta Major is going on. The Masters at Augusta National. Let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Welcome in our friend of the show, Will Haskett, PGA Tour analyst and insider. Will, how you doing today?
Pretty good. I can tone it down if you guys need me to. We can go with the hushed tones if you want to.
I think we need to start this interview out on fire, kind of similar to the way that Justin Rose has been on fire. Again, another outstanding first round, but we've been here before four times previously, and it hasn't mattered come Sunday. So Justin Rose already off to a relatively good start today. He's gone all the way to 8 under. Still just two shots clear because Bryson just picked another one up. But Justin Rose, what does he need to do the rest of the way to make this first-round lead different than the previous ones?
Yeah, I mean, he talked about yesterday how he was in the zone. You know, whatever shot he saw, he was able to execute. And I think getting out early today was a massive benefit to him because I think this afternoon it's going to get pretty gnarly with some winds and place firms up and the greens get crustier. And so these guys that are out right now, Rose making the turn playing 10, even DeChambeau and Ober are great behind him on the leaderboard, a massive advantage versus the guys that have later tee times today, like Scottie Scheffler, for them to sort of just post a number and then see what the winds do this afternoon to it. So I think a first part of it was how he would respond on the front nine. So shooting 1 under par on the front nine is important. I think he's going to have moments of stress. And what happens when those stressful moments come up? Can you do what Rory McIlroy didn't do yesterday? And that is, you know, turn a bogey into a double. And so we've seen Justin Rose make two bogeys this week off of bad tee shots, including 18 yesterday, where he just sort of accepted that bogey was going to be the play. And so when it's not perfect, you know, can you execute something? And then I think also, too, with some of the names that are charging up the board after him, it's going to get to a point this weekend where he's going to have to, you know, probably take a risk here or there. Whereas yesterday it was kind of autopilot. It was a beautiful round of golf to watch. So look, Rose has been here before. He's got multiple runner-up finishes here. You know, this is a golf course that favors people that understand and have been here. And you know, look at Fred Couples yesterday at 65 years old, breaking par. So I think he's in a really good spot, but again, he's probably shot his best round of the week already. So when other guys are going to be shooting their best rounds of the week, how do you respond? I think his response so far today has been good. The next hour will really tell us something when he hits A-Ben corner.
Yeah, you know, speaking of Rory, he almost feels like he's stuck in neutral right now at this tournament. I know he's 1 under through five, but yesterday kind of, as you mentioned, fell apart late. Where does he need to be at score-wise going into Saturday to have a legitimate chance at this tournament? Because if Rose ends up this round at maybe 9 under and DeChambeau, who's 3 under right now for the day and 6 under for the tournament, if these guys are up there high, he's going to have to be like at 3 or 4, right?
Yeah, it really depends what that number is. You know, Justin Rose just missed the green to 10, but looks like he's going to get it up and down. Just hit a really good pitch shot there. So, you know, it depends on what that number is. If Rose moves this thing to 9 or 10 under par, then, yeah, you're looking at – you don't want to be 8, 9 shots back. You want to be probably within 4 or 5 shots going into tomorrow so you can try and get within 1 or 2 of that lead going into Sunday because it just makes your life so much easier. And it looks like scoring conditions are going to be really, really good this weekend. So I don't see guys kind of falling back to the pack. I think we're going to see a shootout, really, when it gets to the back nine, especially on Sunday. So, you know, Rory, he wasn't in neutral for the first – you know, the first 14 holes of yesterday, he was playing what I thought was kind of the perfect opening round for him, being out late as he was. And then, you know, one bad chip and then a couple of holes later, you know, goes double at 15 and 17. And it just kind of ends up, you know, out of his hands really quickly. That was, it feels like in majors for Rory these days, you're just waiting for whatever that moment is, that disheartening gasp sort of moment, and it happened twice in a 45-minute span yesterday, and you hope that those aren't enough to cost him the actual tournament. But yeah, to your point, like I'm thinking he's thinking today when he tees off, I got to shoot 68. I got to get to 400 par and sort of see where the lead number is. But he should have shot 68 yesterday.
Will Haskett, PGA Tour analyst and insider, joining us on the WadeFord.com hotline. Look, Will, you're the expert. That's why we're talking to you. And I'm not going to pretend to know all 95 golfers that have taken to Augusta National. I have never heard of Corey Connors, but the Canadian sits there at 4 under, tied for third right now. Well, what can you tell us about him, his performance yesterday? And he'll be teeing off in about 35 or so minutes, what he's going to be looking to do today.
Yeah, no surprise, honestly, with Corey Connors. When you look at his history at this golf tournament, he's got 3 top 10s in his last 5 starts at Augusta. So you know, he understands his golf course. He's making his 8th start, I believe, this week, multiple winner on the PGA Tour and one of the best iron players in the world. So this is a golf course that really suits him. The putter can be a little bit shaky at times for him. And I think, you know, the bright lights in a major we haven't really seen for Corey Connors. He's going to be in the mix just because he hits the ball too well to not be in the mix. The question is, you know, can he make the big putts? Can he rise to the challenge in the big moments? Because we're going to see players with a lot of major championship pedigree around him on the leaderboard and guys that we know can step up and hit shots in those moments, like a Bryson DeChambeau, like even a Justin Rose, who's won a major championship and has been around the block several times. So there are a lot of guys that I think fit this golf course. The question is, can they have that superstar sort of winning moment when it matters on Saturday and Sunday?
Well, sometimes these when these tournaments, you get in these majors and they start scoring, and I think Augusta has been guilty of it as well, you'll see kind of pin placements get a little bit harder, and the conditions kind of suddenly, the ones that are controllable become tougher. Do you think that they're going to kind of play with them on Saturday and Sunday with maybe some of the pin positions, or do they want it to be a tournament where these guys kind of score and show off just how freaking good they are?
Yeah, the golf course is difficult enough that they don't have to trick up this place to make it hard. I think the beauty about Augusta National as a venue for this championship, very similar to, say, the Players' Championship a few weeks ago on the PGA Tour, is that it could be ideal conditions. Same holes, 2 players, one guy can make a birdie and one guy can make a triple. If you're just a little bit out of position, or you make the wrong decision, or you hit it in the wrong spot, you can see 3 or 4 shot swings. You know, we've seen some epic collapses in the last 10 years from players, whether it's Jordan Spieth in 2016 trying to go back-to-back, Ludwig Oberg last year trying to run down Scottie Scheffler, rinses it at 11 on Sunday, sort of these lessons that get learned. And so they don't have to do anything funky with hole locations. You'll see traditional hole locations, especially on Sunday, where they put it on those holes in the back nine. We love that tradition, right? We love the sort of understanding, hey, this is where the hole is going to be cut, and we know that this is the choice that someone's going to have to make. When they get to Amen Corner in 12, it's going to be over there on the right-hand side. You take it on and bring the bank and bring Rays Creek into play. So, no, I don't think they have to do anything different to try and make it a little bit harder. I think the golf course is hard enough when between the years you're wondering, can I hit the shots necessary to win a major? You know, Tyrrell Hatton was asked if he's starting to love this golf course a little bit more yesterday after a really good round of golf, and he sort of joked, like, yeah, I don't love any golf course, if you've ever seen that sort of his outburst. But he sort of, you know, commented on the fact that this is a golf course where you just have to hit a perfect shot every time if you want to be in the right position. And so you don't have to put the holes in crazy places and still demand really good action out of these guys.
John Rahm won this tournament a couple of years ago, had a disaster outing last year, and it's probably headed that way this year. I know he's even today, but right now currently projected to miss the cut, which is currently listed at 2 over. What's going on with John Rahm at Augusta recently?
Yeah, I think the cut will probably go to +3 if the winds pick up. And so if Rahm can shoot something under par today, he's probably going to play the weekend. But yeah, since his big move, took the bag and took a ton of money to go to LIV, he has not had a good major run. Now, that's a small sample size. He only played 3 majors last year because he had a foot issue that cost him a start at the U.S. Open. And, you know, he's fallen so far, I think, off the radar of the casual golf fan. And I do believe, I truly do believe it is hard sometimes for these guys to rev things up when the competition and the schedule hasn't been as sharp, I think, when you're playing the LIV schedule as if you were on the PGA Tour and you're trying to fend off a whole lot of hungrier sort of golfers that are around you. And he's just sort of trying to find that footing. But I think the other part of it, too, is, you know, you rev up for this week even more so than any other time. And while he has played really, really well on LIV, he was the individual winner last year for the season. He's won a couple of tournaments. He's been top 5 in all of their tournaments, I think, so far this year, at least top 10 for it. you could just sort of see the pressure that he's putting on himself to perform this week, because it means so much more. And I'm not saying it means less to other guys in the field, but it definitely looks like a guy that's sort of stuck in this back and forth motivational conundrum between, you know, what kind of golf is needed of me. And he looked just really kind of upset and uncomfortable yesterday in that round of golf, which was honestly surprising. He's playing good enough that he should be factoring into majors, and he could still win a major later on this year. But I thought yesterday's 75 by Rahm was one of the more shocking results of round number one.
I know that Rose is up there at 8 under through through 10 today, and it's almost through two rounds. But is Scottie Scheffler still the name, still the guy that is probably the favorite to win this? You know, even because he hasn't gone off yet today, and you said the conditions are going to be tough, but it just feels like he's so good here. He's so consistent. He's still the guy, right?
I don't care what the lead number is. If Justin Rose posts 13 under, plays his next 8 holes at 5 under and posts 13 under par, if Scottie Scheffler shoots something under par today in the afternoon, even if that's 1 under and he's in at -5, he's still the favorite to win this golf tournament. He didn't make a bogey yesterday. He was the one guy of sort of that top tier worth of groups, maybe outside of Bryson DeChambeau, who played great golf. And he's in control. He looked comfortable. And while his iron play isn't as spectacular as it was last year, that was just how you start a major. If you're going to win a major, is how Scottie started yesterday. Now, things can go wrong. It's golf. Weird things sort of happen. But if he shows up again today, puts the ball in the right places, kind of plays another ho-hum round of golf, and shoots something under par, I don't care what the lead number is and how far back he is, he's still probably the favorite going to the weekend.
Will Haskett, PGA Tour analyst and insider, joining us on the Midday Show on 92.9 The Game. And we've only got a minute left here, Will, and didn't want to ask you this yesterday, but now that we have seen a round, and for some of these guys, a round and a half, ultimately, based on what you've seen out of form and how the course is playing and expects to play the rest of the way, if you had to make a prediction right now, current scores, Justin Rose ahead, but obviously you mentioned DeChambeau, Scheffler, Oberg, all in it. Who do you think puts on the green jacket come Sunday evening?
Yeah, I think we're getting – I mean, I'd like to see us kind of get to a Scheffler-DeChambeau showdown. I sort of feel like that's where it is. It'd be a great story if Justin Rose could win this after being so close so many times, but – without Scheffler having teed off, I think that's a little bit of a jump to make. But, I mean, Bryson's playing great, and he's just sort of shown a new knack in being in majors. So I think it comes down to Scheffler versus DeChambeau. And, you know, right now I'd say the odds are probably in DeChambeau's favor in that one. But like I said, if Scheffler shoots something under par today, I still think he wins this golf tournament. But I wouldn't be surprised if we have a final twosome on Sunday of Bryson and Scottie.
Will, thank you so much for the time these past 2 days. Really appreciate you joining us here and chatting about the Masters, and hope you enjoy the rest of today's round, but certainly moving day and Masters Sunday as well.
Awesome. Enjoy the golf, guys.
There you Thanks, go. Will Haskett, always great to chat with him about what's going on at the majors.
Yeah, I like Will, and I love this tournament. We could be – I tell you what, I know what Pork Chop's going to do. She's going to wait till Sunday. When we've got Scheffler, Rose, Bryson.
Roaring down the back nine.
And Rory's got in here, and they're all
Rory's pushing seven under through the front nine. Are you seeing?
They're all within two to three strokes on 15 or 14. The final pairing is probably on 14. And, hey, I'm ready.
I've been told you don't have to rush as much as most people think.
I've been told that, too.
Take your time.
But, I'm a dude.
Sure, that'll go well with the other.
Yeah, the readiness is there.
Yeah,
from Casa de Squid. So.
I do want to say one other thing about the Masters on the other side. It's one of the all-time great sporting events to do something, and I'll tell you exactly what I'm referring to. Daytona's in that discussion too. We'll get into that. Also, the NFL no huddle. Joe Patrick coming in the noon hour as well. Also, a Squid and Abe Sports Jeopardy. Hosted by Bo Johnson. A lot still to get to on the Midday Show. Andy and Randy going to be back on Monday at 11 a.m. Until then, it's Abe and Bo filling in on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet.
Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.